In early November, the Defense Information Systems Agency, which has been tasked with serving as DoD's single broker for cloud services, announced it was pulling back from an acquisition strategy for cloud services for unclassified data that could have been worth up to $450 million. In a short statement to vendors, DISA said it had overestimated the demand within DoD for commercial cloud products. But Tony Montemurano, the agency's director of strategic planning, says DISA is not giving up on commercial offerings.
The cancellation of the contract was, or the contract initiative was to, in realization that our requirement wasn't quite clear. Okay, we didn't have the requirement we thought we had in terms of volume. Okay, our commercial cloud strategy is not changing. All right, all we're doing is we're adjusting it to ensure we're going after the vehicles we need to go after.
DISA officials say both they and the wider Defense Department think there are a lot of areas where commercial cloud would be a better, more cost-effective substitute for some of the computing services the military services and defense agencies are currently running on their own. But they say there are several big questions and potential hang-ups to be resolved. Dave Mihalchik, DISA's chief technology officer, says the agency believes it can't take a one-size-fits-all approach to the cloud acquisition. It'll need to tailor contracts to suit all six levels of security requirements the agency outlined in its recent cloud security model.
First two tiers of that, levels one and two, address fully unclassified data, the difference being really the robustness required of the service that supports it. The next three, four, and five, address varying levels of controlled unclassified information, so sensitive information that we seek to protect. And level six is classified data. So across that span, we're going to see different solutions appropriate for different levels of data. It might be done as a commercial service in the public cloud or government cloud. It might be done as a commercial service offered to the DoD as a private cloud. Or it might be a DoD-run cloud service. So we're going to see different acquisition strategies for different cloud computing requirements at the various sensitivity levels. And also, the acquisition strategies may be differentiated based on the kind of service we're trying to acquire, whether it be infrastructure as a service, software as a service, platform as a service, and certainly within software as a service, there's basically an unlimited spectrum of things that the DoD uses on a daily basis. So how we acquire those, whether it's through pure commercial public cloud, a private cloud commercial offering, or a DoD cloud, is going to vary. So I think there are going to be opportunities across that spectrum.
DISA officials say they're seriously considering following the approach the CIA took when it hired a cloud provider, in that case Amazon, to build a cloud environment based on its technology but walled off from the public internet and secured within the agency's own IT environment. But Montemurano says there's currently a crimp in the supply line of companies who meet DISA's security needs. DoD's committed to using products that have been certified under the Federal Risk Authorization Management Program, FedRAMP, the government-wide construct designed to give security certifications to cloud systems once so they can be used throughout government.
The question I've got for y'all is how many solutions out there are FedRAMP compliant? Okay, we ourselves are going to take our own DoD-developed system and put it through FedRAMP. Okay, the point is we're going to stand up and embrace it, okay, and the question is how many opportunities are there out there today that are FedRAMP compliant? And the answer is not very many. So my point to you here is that's the rule, that's what we want to do, okay, but we need some cooperation from industry to comply with the regulations of the federal government.
Also, Montemurano says DoD is concerned about the impact to day-to-day network operations of taking data and computing capacity that's currently housed within the department and placing it in outside servers that the department's cyber workforce might not have complete visibility into.
The fact of the matter is depending upon, as he says, the sensitivity of the information, okay, there is a demand signal from U.S. Cyber Command, from DISA itself, and now U.S. Cyber Command. They want to understand exactly what is happening, when there's an anomaly, exactly what the fix is. That three-star in the field, that four-star in the field, is not interested in say, wait out, I'll let you know when I'm done. Okay, it's not interested. So we have this command and control requirement, we refer to as NetOps, that's there. And that's hard. That's hard. That's not the way we're set up commercially to do that, not normally, but that's a hard thing. But the fact is that demand signal has not gone away.
And once DoD gets to the point where it's making large-scale use of commercial cloud capabilities, officials say they'll need to have a framework of criteria in place for deciding which systems belong in the commercial space and prioritizing which ones migrate first. Martin Gross is DISA's Program Executive Officer for Command and Control Capabilities. He says that's currently the topic of intense debate within DoD.
I think you see a divergent set of opinions as to whether you ask the people who are the resource sponsors versus who are the people making the security decisions, whether it be the DAA or the operational sponsor. I don't think you will see one defined set of criteria. What you'll see is different people willing to take different risks based on what they think is a trade-off between price points, security, and operational needs. In the agency, we are looking at certain applications that really should have been in the cloud, commercial cloud already, like APAN and USIS. And as we look at tech refreshing those capabilities that exist in the deck, you will see those move to commercial cloud hosting. Because in the beginning, there are things that share information with an unclassified community, have external equities outside the department, and those don't need to be hosted within a DoD facility. Those are the things that you're going to see moving as we tech refresh those capabilities right now. The rest is still open for debate and discussion. And once again, you're going to see a divergent set of opinions depending upon who you talk to.
Mihalchyk says DoD also needs to address many of the cumbersome policy barriers that currently keep the department from taking advantage of the inherent scalability and rapid deployability of the commercial cloud industry. That's a lesson, he says, DISA itself has already learned in painful ways.
We had an offering DISA did that goes back 3 years now called RACE, Rapid Access Computing Environment. It was basically development on demand. And through one of our great industry partners, a system was put together that could offer VMs to end users within fractions of minutes. So what did we do? We put in place a provisioning process and an approval process on top of that. And when my organization attempted to use that to do some development of MediaWiki software, the approval process to actually get those systems up and running and then exposed to the wide area network was on the order of 9 months. So we took provisioning from seconds to almost a year. So what we're trying to do is address these policy issues, address these process issues, so that we can truly benefit from automation, no matter who provides it. Because if we have a great commercial solution, but our off-ramp to it is still a dirt road, it doesn't help us.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio.com and 1500 AM.